Welcome back to Anatomy Roundtable. Today we're diving into something that's literally at our fingertips, our hands. You might not think about it, but the hand is a complex piece of biological engineering. It's not just about grabbing a coffee cup, right?
Exactly. It's fascinating how the hand allows us to perform such a variety of tasks, from writing to playing musical instruments. It's all about the intricate interplay of bones, muscles, and nerves. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
Right on. And let's not forget the role the hand plays in our daily lives and professions. Surgeons, artists, athletes, everyone relies on their hands for precision and strength. So, what's the plan for today's discussion?
Well, we'll start by breaking down the structural components of the hand. We'll look at the bones, muscles, and tendons, and how they all work together. In the OR, understanding this anatomy can be a game changer during procedures.
And I'm excited to share some recent research on hand function. There's so much we can learn from studying how these components interact. It's like a well-oiled machine.
Let's bring all the pieces into focus. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer picture of why the hand is such a vital part of our anatomy. So, let's get started.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the hand's anatomy. We're talking about 27 bones here. Yes, 27. That includes the carpals, metacarpals, and phalanges. Each of these bones has a unique role, and together, they create the framework that supports our hand's incredible range of motion.
Spot on. The carpals, for instance, are those 8 small bones that form the wrist. They're like the foundation of a house, allowing for flexibility and stability. Then we have the 5 metacarpals, which connect to the fingers, and the phalanges, which are the bones in our fingers themselves. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
Absolutely. And let's not forget the muscles and tendons that work in tandem with these bones. The hand has both intrinsic and extrinsic muscles. Intrinsic muscles are located within the hand itself, while extrinsic muscles originate in the forearm. This arrangement gives us the ability to perform both delicate and powerful movements.
Right, and the tendons are crucial too. They connect muscles to bones, allowing for movement. For example, the flexor tendons help us curl our fingers, while the extensor tendons straighten them out. It's a beautifully coordinated system.
Speaking of coordination, let's not overlook the ligaments. They provide support and stability to the joints, ensuring that all those bones and tendons work harmoniously. Without them, our hands would be a bit of a mess, literally.
Here's where this all comes together. Understanding the anatomy of the hand isn't just for anatomy exams. It's essential for diagnosing and treating injuries. When you know how these components interact, you can better assess what's going wrong in a clinical setting.
In the OR, this knowledge is everything. Whether it's repairing a tendon or addressing a fracture, knowing the structural layout is key to effective treatment. So let's keep this momentum going as we explore how these structures function together. So, let's dive into how all these components of the hand work together. It's not just a bunch of bones and muscles thrown together. There's a real synergy at play here. For instance, when you flex your fingers, it's a coordinated effort between the flexor tendons and the muscles in your forearm. It's like a well-rehearsed dance.
Fair point. Each movement we make requires precise positioning of these structures. Take grasping an object. Your fingers need to curl around it, but the thumb plays a crucial role in opposition. This positioning allows for a secure grip. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
Right on. And this versatility is what makes the hand so remarkable. The way the muscles are arranged allows for both fine motor skills, like writing, and powerful grips, like lifting heavy objects. It's all about that balance.
In the OR, understanding these functional relationships is key. For example, if a tendon is damaged, it can significantly affect how well a patient can perform daily activities. Knowing which muscles and tendons are involved can guide treatment decisions.
Speaking of treatment, let's not forget about the sensory aspect. The hand is packed with nerve endings, which provide feedback on touch, temperature, and pain. This sensory information is vital for coordinating movements. Without it, we'd be fumbling around.
Here's where this all comes together. The hand's anatomy isn't just a textbook concept. It's a dynamic system that adapts to our needs. Understanding these spatial relationships helps us appreciate how injuries can impact function and how we can rehabilitate effectively.
Exactly. So, as we move forward, let's keep this interplay of structure and function in mind. It's foundational for everything we'll discuss next. All right, let's talk about how we assess the anatomy of the hand in clinical practice. Physical exams are our first line of defense. When you examine the hand, you're looking for key palpable landmarks, like the bony prominences of the metacarpals and the carpal bones. Knowing where to press can make all the difference in diagnosing issues.
Spot on. For example, the anatomical snuffbox is a critical area. It's formed by the tendons of the extensor muscles, and it's where we can assess for scaphoid fractures. If a patient has wrist pain, knowing how to palpate this area can help us determine the next steps in imaging. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
No kidding. And speaking of imaging, let's not overlook the role of X-rays and MRIs. X-rays are great for spotting fractures, while MRIs give us a detailed look at soft tissues like ligaments and tendons. This distinction is crucial for effective diagnosis and treatment planning.
In the OR, understanding these imaging techniques is essential. For instance, if we see a fracture on an X-ray, we need to consider how that might affect the surrounding soft tissue structures. It's all interconnected.
Quick detour. Have you ever seen an MRI of a hand? It's fascinating how it reveals the intricate details of the tendons and ligaments. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Here's where this all comes together. The anatomy of the hand isn't just theoretical. It's practical knowledge that guides us in real-life clinical scenarios. Understanding how to assess and interpret these structures can significantly enhance patient care.
Exactly. So as we move on, let's keep these assessment techniques in mind. They're vital for the next segment on pathology and procedures. Let's dive deeper. So, let's get into some common conditions that affect the hand. One of the big ones is carpal tunnel syndrome. It occurs when the median nerve gets compressed as it passes through the wrist. This can lead to pain, numbness, and tingling in the fingers. In the OR, we often see patients who've been struggling with this for a while before they finally seek help.
Right on. Carpal tunnel syndrome is often associated with repetitive motions. Think typing or assembly line work. It's fascinating how something as simple as wrist position can lead to such significant symptoms. Let me explain this from another angle. Early intervention can make a huge difference.
Fair point. If we catch it early, conservative treatments like splinting or corticosteroid injections can be effective. But if it progresses, surgery might be necessary to relieve the pressure on that nerve. It's a prime example of how understanding anatomy directly impacts treatment decisions.
In the OR, we often perform a carpal tunnel release, which involves cutting the transverse carpal ligament. It's a straightforward procedure, but knowing the anatomy is crucial to avoid damaging surrounding structures.
Speaking of anatomy, let's not forget about fractures. The hand is particularly susceptible to fractures, especially in the metacarpals and phalanges. A common example is a boxer's fracture, which occurs when someone punches a hard surface. It's a classic case of anatomy meeting real-life consequences.
Here's where this all comes together. Understanding the types of fractures and their implications helps us tailor our approach to treatment. For instance, a stable fracture might just need a splint, while an unstable one could require surgical intervention.
Exactly. So as we move forward, let's keep these conditions in mind. They're not just academic. They have real implications for patient care and recovery. Next up, we'll tackle common pitfalls and misconceptions in hand anatomy. All right, let's tackle some common pitfalls and misconceptions when it comes to hand anatomy. One major issue is the confusion between the terms flexor and extensor. Many people think they're interchangeable, but they refer to opposite actions. Flexors bend the fingers, while extensors straighten them out. It's a basic but crucial distinction.
Spot on. Another misconception is regarding the carpal bones. People often mix up the names or even forget how many there are. There are 8 carpal bones, and they're grouped into 2 rows. It's easy to get lost in the terminology, but understanding their layout is key for any clinical assessment. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
No kidding. And let's not forget about the misconception that all hand injuries require surgery. Many hand injuries can be treated conservatively with rest, splinting, or physical therapy. It's important to assess each case individually rather than jumping straight to the OR.
In the OR, I've seen cases where a simple misunderstanding of anatomy led to unnecessary surgical interventions. That's why it's crucial to have a solid grasp of the anatomical relationships before making decisions.
Quick detour. Another common error is thinking that the thumb has the same number of phalanges as the other fingers. The thumb only has two, proximal and distal, while the other fingers have three. This can affect everything from grip strength to dexterity.
Here's where this all comes together. Being aware of these misconceptions can enhance our clinical practice. It helps us communicate better with patients and ensures we're making informed decisions based on accurate anatomical knowledge.
Exactly. So, as we move forward, let's keep these pitfalls in mind. They're not just academic. They have real implications for patient care. Next up, we'll explore expert insights and recent advances in hand anatomy. So, let's dive into some of the latest insights and advancements in hand anatomy and treatment. One exciting area is the use of 3D printing technology in creating custom splints and prosthetics. This innovation allows for personalized solutions that fit the unique anatomy of each patient's hand. In the OR, I've seen how these tailored devices can significantly improve recovery outcomes.
Right on. Another fascinating development is the use of regenerative medicine, particularly stem cell therapy. Researchers are exploring how stem cells can aid in repairing damaged tendons and ligaments in the hand. Imagine being able to regenerate tissue instead of just repairing it. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
No kidding. And speaking of connections, let's not overlook the advancements in minimally invasive surgical techniques. These methods reduce recovery time and scarring, which is a game changer for patients. It's incredible how technology is reshaping our approach to hand surgery.
In the OR, these techniques allow us to perform complex procedures with precision. For example, using arthroscopy for joint issues can lead to quicker recoveries and less postoperative pain. It's all about enhancing patient care through innovation.
Quick detour. I recently read about a study showing that virtual reality can be used for rehabilitation after hand injuries. Patients can engage in interactive exercises that mimic real-life tasks, making therapy more effective and enjoyable.
Here's where this all comes together. Integrating these advances into clinical practice not only improves outcomes, but also empowers patients. When they're involved in their recovery process, it can lead to better adherence to treatment plans.
Exactly. As we wrap up this segment, let's remember that staying updated on these advancements is crucial for all of us in the field. It's about providing the best possible care for our patients. Next up, we'll summarize our key takeaways from today's discussion. So, as we wrap up today's discussion, let's recap some of the key insights about the hand's anatomy. We've explored everything from the structural components, like the bones and muscles, to how they interact functionally. It's clear that the hand is not just a collection of parts, it's a finely tuned instrument that allows us to perform a myriad of tasks.
Spot on. We also discussed the clinical relevance of this anatomy, especially in diagnosing and treating common conditions like carpal tunnel syndrome and fractures. Understanding these concepts is crucial for any healthcare provider working with patients who have hand injuries. Isn't it amazing how everything connects?
Fair point. The importance of recognizing common pitfalls and misconceptions can't be overstated. Whether it's mislabeling muscles or misunderstanding the implications of a hand injury, these errors can lead to significant clinical consequences.
In the OR, knowing the anatomy inside and out can make all the difference when it comes to patient outcomes. It's not just about performing procedures, it's about understanding the why behind them.
Quick detour, I think it's also worth noting the exciting advancements in hand anatomy research and treatment options. From 3D printing to regenerative medicine, we're on the brink of some fantastic breakthroughs that could change how we approach hand injuries.
Here's where this all comes together. By staying informed about these advancements, we can enhance our clinical practice and ultimately improve patient care.
Exactly. So, as we close, I encourage our listeners to keep exploring and learning about hand anatomy. It's a fascinating field with endless possibilities for growth and improvement in patient care. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Anatomy Roundtable.